T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So I guess, you said this a couple times already, but I guess what's it been like dealing with this entire season as a coach, the ups and the downs and all the madness off the court?
It's been tough. I mean, you know, especially after the way we started the season, you know, had great promise, I thought. There's been a little bit of everything, you know, obviously the situation that we all know about, but, you know, the injury thing came about and just, you know, it was not the season that we anticipated.
Coach, there were two things that were, you know, like you said, the injuries, all the other variables that were inconsistent. The two things that were consistent, you were able to score, but you weren't able to stop people. Where did that commitment to the defensive end just break off this year?
I don't think it broke off. I'm not real sure. You know, we try to some different things, but don't have the answer to that. I wish I did have the answer to that. Because I thought we were committed. We spent a lot of time in practice on it. I think the thing that hurt us most is the dribble penetration. And I think if you can't control dribble penetration, then it breaks down, you know, it starts to break down your entire defense. And we just didn't do a very good job of being able to get into the ball and guard the ball. So obviously when that doesn't happen, you put your big guys in harm's way. You know, you're rotating. And in this league now, when you're in rotation, teams are really good and they're going to find open guys. And I think that was one of the reasons we struggled with the three-point shooting thing, because we found ourselves in rotation way too much.
The players around the league recently voted Drew as the most underrated guy in the league. Obviously, if the AD deal happens this summer, he'll have a lot of responsibility on his shoulders in this franchise. What do you think he can kind of show next year if he can be the face of this franchise?
Oh, I think he's already proven that. I don't think he has anything else to prove, really. I mean, I think as a two-way player, like I said, maybe I'm a little biased, but I think he's as good as any two-way player in the league at defending his position and then being able to score the basketball for us. And, you know, I'd like to see him get to the foul line more, and I don't think he really has anything to do with that. I mean, I think he takes the ball to the basket, and I think he should be on the line more, really. But I think he's proven he doesn't say a lot verbally, but when he does, I know everybody on the team respects him enough that they listen. But I think what he does is he leads by example. He plays every night, every minute that we put him in there. I know that we're getting the best out of him. And so even the nights where he doesn't play, you know, so what we call a good game, you know, because he doesn't shoot the ball well or something, I don't think he has bad games, because I think what he does for us on the defensive side of the ball always makes him valuable to us on the floor.
4 years, all the things that have happened up and down, regardless of what happens in the future, how do you look at this time that you've been with the Pelicans, both from a competitive standpoint and a relationship standpoint?
Well, from a competitive standpoint, obviously it's been disappointing. I thought last year, you know, the playoff and the way we played in the playoffs were what I anticipated happening here, you know, the very first year I got here. And then obviously injuries decimated that. You know, we've been a team that struggled with keeping guys healthy. And because of that, you know, and it's nobody's fault. I mean, injuries happen, you know. I mean, I think, you know, I'm different than some of the others' opinion. I think we got as good a medical staff as they've been in the league. But there are certain injuries that you can't do anything about as a medical staff. So those things happen. So that hurt. And, you know, and then this year was a disappointment. As far as being here, I mean, you know, I live in New Orleans. How can you not? How can you not like living in New Orleans? I think, you know, once you're here for a few years, you know, it's a place that you grow to love and respect. And, you know, and like I said last night about the fans, I think we got great fans. The ones that comes to the game are very dedicated. I think they're very passionate, and they'll let you know that. And sometimes it's not all positive. I felt that part of it too. But you know, they do love their teams here. You know, they love the Saints. They love us. You know, and there's a passion here that you don't see in very many other cities. So obviously, I appreciate being here. And as far as the leadership, it's been great. You know, obviously the passing of Mr. Benson was really tough. But I think Mrs. Benson has stepped in and done an incredible job, you know, starting with the playoff run that we had. She was at every single game, traveled, you know, even all the way back and all the way back to Portland to see us play. And I think she's going to be a great leader for both of the franchises here and a great leader for the community in general, you know, and Louisiana for everything that she does. So I think from that standpoint, everything is a great and in place. And as I said last night, I think, you know, we're going to have a great team next year. We'll find a way to do it.
What do you think about the growth Julius has shown this year in your system?
I think he's shown that, you know, he had the one thing for us and played the one way for us with so much force that really helped us. I thought, you know, he's capable of being a facilitator and a playmaker too. We can give him the ball and he can push it in our break. And, you know, I thought he had a great year. And I think he's just getting better. You know, we fail to realize that, you know, the guys that we're talking about are, you know, a lot of them. I mean, Julius is 24 years old, so he's got nothing but a huge upside.
Alvin, now that the season's over, do you think the league can do anything moving forward to make sure that a situation like Andy doesn't happen for another team down the line?
I mean, I think that's an interesting question. I think there's something that would be talked about in the league office, you know. I mean, obviously it's very disruptive to a franchise and to a team. You know, I think it's something that is going to have to be dealt with. So that'll be something that has to happen in the league office.
Coaches evaluate players at the end of seasons and think about things that they can do and improve in all season. How much reflection do you do at the end of each season about what you could have done better or communicated better or any of those types of things?
Oh, I'm probably a lot harder on myself than I am any other players because I feel like as the leader, you know, I've got to try to put him in every situation to be successful. So, you know, I question myself after every single game, wins or losses, of what I could do better or, you know, the rotation I should have had out there or the play that I should have run or who I should have run it for. I think as a coach, that's what you have to do. You have to evaluate yourself before you evaluate your players.
What's your process now? Do you go right into talking with the organization about the GM search? Take some time away? Just what is your process for the next?
I'm going to be around here. I always stay for a while before, you know, trying to take a little bit of time off. But obviously the new GM is going to be really important, you know. It's going to be something that is going to be very integral to, you know, how I team move forward and the franchise move forward. So I'll be around here for that. And then I just stay around anyway to kind of shore up everything and see what's going on before I take off for a little while.
You sounded last night like a guy who's somewhat confident that you'll be back. Do you feel that way? Or?
I'm going to be that way. I'm going to be confident until they tell me I'm not coming back. I told you guys that last night. So that's the only way I know how to approach it. That's the way I approach any job that I've ever been in. That I feel like I'm the coach and I'm going to be the coach until they tell me otherwise.
One of the things that people have certainly noted is the way you've handled yourself in the midst of all of this. You haven't really had blow-ups. You know, the ones that you had have been memorable, but...
I thought you were going to leave it that I had no blow-ups.
We remember Houston.
Wait, seriously... How do you maintain that level of composure when all these things are swirling around you?
You know, I think the one thing is that, you know, you can look at things and you can whine and complain, which doesn't get anything done, or you can try to find solutions. I try to find solutions, and that's why, you know, regardless of what the situation was or who we had healthy or who we put out there, I just felt like you know, if we competed at the highest level that we possibly could and played unselfishly, we would always give our chance to give ourselves a chance to win games. And you know, we had some memorable wins, you know, with not so many guys playing, really. You know, you think about it, we had over 80 points sitting out the Sacramento game a few games ago, and our guys found a way to, you know, to win the game. So I like guys, and I like guys that compete regardless of what. And, you know, I just, you know, you know, you just can't come up with excuses, you know, for everything that happened. You know, sometimes you just got to look past that, and you just, you know, you do the very best you can, and you have guys play the best they can and as hard as they can. And, you know, as a coach, I think if they do that, you can accept anything.
I don't think we all know you for kind of saying what you feel and having strong opinions on things, but how, was it tough at times to not really just go off or kind of say how you really felt about the entire situation and kind of just, I mean, there's been little bits and pieces you've thrown out there, but just to not lay it all out, was that tough?
Yeah, I mean, it's been tough, you know, it's been tough, but that's part of it, you know. I mean, this is not a, none of this is easy. It's not an easy situation when you got a completely healthy team and playing. So, you know, do I get disappointed sometime? Yeah. Do I get upset sometime? Yeah. But as I said, you know, I try not to use wasted energy. You know, to me, it's just wasted energy. And so you can take that energy and direct it somewhere else, and I think it's going to be much more productive and much more positive doing it that way than to whine about your situation. Like I said, I'm not a whiner. I've never been a whiner, and you know, there's no reason to start now. I mean, I'm almost 65 years old, so I should have been whining 40 years ago. So I don't see any reason to do it. I just try to be positive. I try to move forward, and I think any player that come out here will tell you that I don't concentrate a lot on what guys can't do. I just concentrate on what they can do and try to put them in those situations.
Were you mindful that how you handled off the court stuff could trickle down to how your players handled adversity?
I think so. And the reason I say that is because obviously I was at the Clippers when the whole thing happened, the whole Donald Sterling thing happened, and I saw how Doc handled that, and he did an unbelievable job. And it never really, you know, it never really trickled down to the players. We just concentrated on playing games and, you know, being in the playoffs and how we were going to do in the playoffs, and never really let that seep into any conversation. And I thought the guys, because he handled it that way, I thought the guys did a good job of blocking it out and just trying to do it on their own. Obviously, it upset everybody, we didn't spend time talking about that. More so, there's just the task at hand, and that's what we did here. You know, we just talked about the task at hand and what we tried to get done as a team.
You, when you've been in the league for 3 decades, you have a lot of friends, a lot of contacts. You cross paths with a lot of people. Not that I'm looking for like a deep dive on this, but if you could, just maybe your relationship with Danny, and then obviously I know you and David go back to Phoenix together, and then have you ever met Gerson Morosis?
Yeah, I know everybody that you know, supposedly they bought in for interviews, and you know, they're all good people. I mean, you know, I don't know, you know, from the standpoint I've only worked with Danny and Griff and in those situations, but you know, I just know that we've got people that that's going to do a great job of finding the right person for the job. You know, it's not anything that's been taken lightly, and I know that when you think about the people that's going to be making those decisions, there are people that I have total confidence in.
What was your time like with Griff when you had a chance to work with him?
He's fine. You know. Yeah. I'm not going to go, you know, what do you want me, you know. We were at Phoenix together, and the team had a lot of success.
Because you know all these people, has upper management picked your brain at all about any of these candidates?
Somewhat, yeah.
I mean, is that something you feel good about, the fact that they would include you to some degree in this process?
Yeah, I mean, I think they, I would say that, but I would say that, you know, it's going to be a decision that they're going to make. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, if I was picking the GM, then I would pick one of you guys, okay?
Fletch. So.
I would go with Fletch, you're right. I would go with Fletch.
You're asking
for 18 and 64. God, they don't have very much confidence in you, man. Every day. Generous at 18? Wow, well, maybe I should reconsider that one then.
That's why you're out of here.
But you proclaimed yesterday that you guys are going to have a good season next year. You're going to make the playoffs. What gives you the confidence to say that?
Because I know that, you know, after all of this, we're going to regroup and we're going to be fine. I believe that. I really do, you know, that we're going to put a team out there and, you know, we're going to be healthy. And everything else is going to be fine, you know. And that's why I say, you know, I love the people here, and I love the fan base, because when we put that team on the floor, they'll come and they'll show up and they'll cheer their butts off.
Is part of that regrouping, I guess, expected relief of some of the drama and the stuff that's been around here the last couple of months?
Well, it's not. I mean, we're not going to have that situation again, and I think obviously if that situation is not here, it's for the betterment of the team. You know, it's not anything that anyone want to go through again. But I thought everybody here handled it as good as they possibly could handle it. You know, I thought the players did, and everybody else did also from that standpoint. So, but it's not something that's going to be here next year. So I think because of that, you know, it gives you an opportunity to be good. Yeah.
You walk away from the season and it's a disappointment, but at the same time, what are those things that you kind of will hang your hat on and say, man, I'm really glad this player got to this level, or I'm glad I was really happy when we had this winning streak or whatever. Are there things that you memories that you look back at the season that you're particularly proud of?
I think the three-game road trip we had, you know, when, you know, when we were really kind of struggling, you know, where we won at Phoenix, won at Denver, and won at Utah was really good. And I think in general, I think we were not a team that, that, you know, was blown out very, you know, I mean, Orlando seemed to be the only team we can't play against at all.
Drew mentioned that too.
I mean, I don't know why, but we struggle against Orlando. But other than the Orlando games, if you go back and look, we were very competitive in all the games we have. And, you know, being healthy would give you a chance to look back and say, if we were healthy, maybe we would have been, you know, right where a bunch of the playoff teams are right now.
Can anybody beat Golden State in the playoffs?
Well, until they do it, I don't think anybody's going to bet against them. You know, I mean, they, you know, 3 out of 4 championships, and obviously the one they lost is one that they probably should have easily won. So. There's other factors other than that basketball part of it. Obviously, Draymond getting suspended, but you know, they're a very good team. They're a very confident team, and they've got great players. They got everything you need. You know, inside play, shooters, and until you beat the champs, you know, they're the champs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.